Well, the Senate will begin debate, if not today, then perhaps as soon as tomorrow, to talk about the deal that Harry Reid reached, the majority leader in the Senate, on health care reform. The agreement came at the end of several days of intense negotiations, and there are many more deals to be done before this bill actually becomes law. Joining us to talk about it is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, joining us from Capitol Hill, and Ken Thorpe is chair of the Department of Health Policy and Management at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning, Ken and Todd.
Morning.
Morning, John.
So I want to frame this around this idea of the public option, because as you laid out for us yesterday, Todd, the public option, as we've talked about it at the very beginning of this whole health care reform saga, is supposedly off the table. But nevertheless, there are options and there are public elements of this deal. And again, it's not necessarily the final bill what we're talking about here, but what we have on the table right now at least has some elements that consumers can begin to respond to. Wouldn't you say, Todd?
Yeah, it appears to. So just to recap quickly from some of the points we went over yesterday, if you're 55 to 64 under this plan as it stands now, nobody's calling it a deal, by the way, because we're not sure if there's a deal. Under this plan, you'd be able to buy into Medicare. Not sure how much you'd have by way of subsidies to do that. If you're below 55, what they're talking about is a couple of two or three private nonprofit plans, again, private plans, but administered by the government, that you could buy into, nonprofit, so that they don't have to spend money on profit, obviously, and would probably limit their administrative costs to try to make it cheaper. And people would have subsidies and tax credits, as was always part of the health care bill, to buy into those. And then what we don't know, you mentioned sort of triggers and the actual public option. What is unclear to me and is frankly unclear to senators and to a lot of senators who are swing votes is where or ever if a public option would trigger or kick in.
Right.
If costs don't go down enough, a lot of senators have not been told that. They just don't know. And there are going to be a lot of votes that pivot on that very point.
All right. Well, Ken Thorpe, let's focus this on consumers then. Consumer John Hockenberry, 53 years old. Okay. In 2 years, I have a public option because according to this deal, whatever you want to call it, I can buy into Medicare. That's a public option, right?
Well, it is. I mean, I think there's a couple of issues here. One is the timing of when these become available. I mean, as the legislation currently stands, your ability to buy coverage through an insurance exchange and receive federal assistance wouldn't start till 2014.
Right. Yeah, there
but
is
you'd
that.
Be able to buy. What they would do immediately, though, is, which would be important, is that each state would have a high-risk pool. So that if you are having problems buying health care coverage, you've got a pre-existing condition, for example, you'd be able to buy coverage almost immediately. So,
all right, Ken. So,
the timing of this is also an issue.
Yeah, well, and that again is going to be worked out, and it is going to be far in the future. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, most of it anyway. But Ken Thorpe, let's talk about that. Is that the model for now? The people under 55 who have difficulty getting insurance either because they can't afford it or they have a pre-existing condition, the so-called high risk pool that you have in say auto insurance.
Right. So that would start immediately. So, you know, states would make a plan or plans available for people to purchase. The main thing is that you'd be able to buy it on a guaranteed basis, so you couldn't be denied.
But how restricted am I going to be? In other words, if I'm looking at a catalog of possible plans, am I looking at one or two available high-risk plans? Does everybody have to offer a high-risk plan? And is the subsidy available to every company that offers it?
Well, the states would have to establish these high-risk pools. So it would give the states a lot of autonomy in terms of establishing them. You know, there would have to be at least one. I think it's part of the details that would have to be worked out, but there'd be at least one plan that people could choose from immediately.
And in terms of the company, say I'm an insurance company, all right, am I offering this high-risk policy on a nonprofit basis as almost a charitable mechanism? Is it sort of like my pro bono work, or is it somehow a part of my overall business?
Well, if the state contracted with you as a health plan to offer it, you know, you would offer it either if you're not for profit or for profit on your current business model. So, you know, the main point is that the states would just have to pull together a plan that would make health insurance available to anybody who's currently having trouble finding it.
All right, and it would vary from state by state how many plans are available and what they would offer. Ken Thorpe, thanks for putting that in focus. So, Todd Zwillick, it seems as though part of the element here, though, is that Medicare gets expanded once again. It's an umbrella that keeps expanding, right?
Yeah, it is, and that's part of the that's part of this so-called deal that the liberals, at least in the Democratic caucus, some of them seem to like. It's a public option. It's a popular program. Everybody loves Medicare. Heck, you even have Republicans running around the Capitol defending Medicare. Who would have thought that 5 years ago, or even three? The Medicare part of this is definitely going to be popular, and it's an infrastructure and a bureaucracy, frankly, an administrative bureaucracy that's already in place.
And it reasonably works, although there is some debate about that. Ken Thorpe, but Todd alluded to these cost triggers. The overall goal of Barack Obama in health care reform is to reduce the cost of health care, and that if costs come down to a certain level, people like consumers would benefit. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I like it a lot because, you know, it makes it very clear that, you know, the two of the major goals of the legislation is to dramatically expand coverage. So you want to make sure that you're reaching that that target as well as driving down the growth in private insurance premiums and in Medicare spending. So by laying that out as an explicit goal, that if we're not doing no good enough on that front, that something else triggers in, I think makes a lot of sense.
But Todd, are consumers going to benefit by these triggers, or is it some abstract thing that we're going to hear about in some committee meeting somewhere?
John, I just really don't think there's a way to know an answer to that question because we don't. I'm sorry, but we don't even know what the trigger would be, or when, or what you're triggering. Plus, it would be several years in the future if affordability standards aren't met. What are those standards? All what right. can you buy into, and how all much right. does it all cost? Right. You know.
Well,
so it's tough.
I asked you about 50-year-old men. Okay, but do you have anything for my co-host over here? She's decades younger than me.
Yeah, she is. For Celeste Headley, let's see, a single mom, Celeste, I know they're paying you a lot, so you probably wouldn't need subsidies under this plan. I think for somebody in their 30s, late 30s, I'm trying to think, you know, you'd
probably
be eligible.
Doesn't change much.
Probably not if you had good...
All right.
If you have good employer-sponsored coverage, it wouldn't change much.
All right. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, and Ken Thorpe, chair of the Department of Health Policy and Management at Emory University. Thank you very much.